This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Here they have a lot
of fun. We are so delighted to have the Hall of Famer Rick Hummel with us for another half hour here on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Martin will be here at 11. So, Rick, the Cardinals are in danger of not making the playoffs for a fourth straight season. With the Blues winning the Stanley Cup, are Cardinal ticket sales in position to take a hit, or is that even preposterous to suggest after what we just witnessed this weekend?
Yeah, it won't take a hit this year. We'd be looking to next year maybe, yeah. But it depends how this season comes out. I think if any reasonable Cardinal fan, no matter what the record, to see after nearly 80 games that you're 2.5 games out of first place, will say, hey, that sounds all right. You know, they're actually...
Yeah.
If your other guess was yesterday, they were tied for the second wild card. They'd actually be in the playoffs right now, almost. If I don't know what happened last night, but they were as of Monday tied for the second wild card, and they have a schedule advantage coming up. And even as poor as some of the games have been, of the 14 games they've had with these lesser teams, Miami, Mets, and the Angels, they went 9-5. That's pretty good. That's how you get there, is beating those teams virtually 2 out of 3. And they have a lot of that coming up.
If the Cardinals fail to make the playoffs for a fourth straight season, when does the spotlight fall on John Mozeliak?
Well, I think it's on him now, and I think it really falls on him after a fourth straight non-playoff year, depending on how it goes. Let's say they come down to the last day of the season and they lose out by a half a game and they've won 90 games. That's still a pretty good year. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd clean house after a 90-win season. I don't see 90, you know, 40 right now does not equate to 90. They're going to have to pick it up a little bit.
You know, sometimes I thought, first of all, I think John Mozeliak, his body of work has been pretty solid. Now, recently, some of the things have not worked out. But let me throw this at you. When he moved himself, or Bill DeWitt moved him to the presidency role, I usually think that gives you more job security and the heat is on the GM. But because Michael Gersh has kind of a lower profile role, I think most of us still view this as John's team.
Yeah, the big transactions will be most transactions. But Michael does a lot of the dirty work we don't see, as far as probably contracts and discussions at different levels of players, keeping more contact with maybe with the minor league system, who's available, who's not, who's doing well, who's not. So, but Mo is he's still the general manager as we perceive that title.
Yeah.
That workload to be.
The Hall of Famer Rick Hummel with us, Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Somebody suggesting in terms of Cardinals that didn't work out, that had some great promise. I don't know. Did Mike Laga have great promise? I know he hit a long ball one day at Busch Stadium, but was he regarded as a can't miss?
No. In fact, he wasn't even their guy. The Tigers had him first, you know. So he was just kind of here for a while. I didn't have any. He had left-handed power. He was an average first baseman who happened to hit one through the arches in right field one time, just about as foul as Goldschmidt's was the other day in left field. So I didn't have any great – and he was not an original Cardinal anyway.
What'd you think of the weekend? The nature, I know, of sports talk radio is negative. So we got a bunch of texts saying it was over the top, it was excessive. I did a radio show the other day at 97.1, and they were saying it's too much. What did you think of the Pujols Love Fest?
We will never see anything like that the rest of our lives. You've seen players come back to teams they previously played for and do something like that, but not coming back as somebody else's player and do things like that. There were – I will never forget the buzz – that was created when he came to bat with the bases loaded in the ninth inning for his very last at bat in Busch Stadium. That was electric. And then, you know, he popped up weekly to first base, but just every time he came to the plate, every time he stepped on the on deck circle or ran in the outfield, I mean, that was unprecedented stuff. And even the Cardinal players the people who knew him had to admit they were pretty happy about what they saw.
What about the percentage of people in that stadium, or no, just the percentage of Cardinal fans in the stadium or watching the game who wanted Pujols to hit a grand slam at the time? What do you think it was?
80%. I mean, their Angels were already ahead, so it was I think they well, they got four runs that inning. I think at that point they didn't have any. They didn't have any of the other four. But yeah, I'd say 80%. And I was surprised actually that the Cardinal fans hung in until the bottom of the ninth. The number of people left, but still, when the Cardinals had their four-run rally in the bottom half, there were a lot of people there still. Yeah. Like they thought, well, no, there's still hope here. But Pujols could not have been more gracious. That's not surprising either. And those are things that you'll never forget in your career to have witnessed that or be a little bit of a part of it to see how that went. And I got a chance to talk to him a week before that in Tampa when they were playing there at the start of their three-city trip. And we were talking about what to expect. And he says, I don't know. He said, I said, I think it's going to be, you know, crazy. And it was just as crazy as I thought.
How do you think he was with the media in general? Now, you're a special case. You're a Hall of Famer. Everybody treats the commish differently. I can remember a zillion times where the commish is doing something and we're about to interview La Russa and the commish wasn't there. No, we're not going to do this until the commish comes. It's all about you. I want you to know that. But how do you think, he is in general with the media, Albert?
I think good. I think when he played here, he was good if you could get to him. He wasn't always available because he was doing stuff or didn't really want to do that much media. And as the years have gone on, especially this year, I think he knows what his responsibilities have been. And I don't think with the Angels he's quite as big a deal to their writers and broadcasters and fans as Trout is. And Trout's the star, and Albert is the farmer star. You know, that's understandable. But Albert was, I think, great with everybody he came in contact with this weekend. And maybe on a daily basis, maybe he's not as good, but I don't care about that.
So if you put, like, top five players of all time, if he's sitting there with 3,000 hits, 2,000 RBIs, and maybe gets to 700 home runs— would it be Ruth, Aaron, Albert, Bonds, and Cobb, or what would your five look like?
Well, all-time best hitters.
All-time best hitters.
Well, Aaron would be in there.
Aaron's one. Okay, Aaron's one.
Ruth certainly. Ruth is the best all-time player without question because he was also a superlative pitcher. They're not even a discussion on best all-time player. It is Babe Ruth.
Well, let's just go five players of all time. Yeah. So you have Aaron. And
Babe Ruth is the best player of all time because he could also pitch.
Okay. Yeah. Ruth, Aaron, that's two.
Yeah. I think Willie Mays has to be in there.
Three.
Now we're getting down to other great players like Albert and
Frank Robinson.
Frank Robinson and Bonds. I mean, Bonds has the numbers. You have to consider what went into that, but he's still the numbers are up there. A-Rod, but the same case. I would put Albert in the top four or five, and Stan, you know, he can't knock. Stan didn't play in an era where home runs were that important, you know, but he's got to be in the top.
Would you put Stan ahead of Ted?
No. I think Ted had a little bit more power. Yeah. He had 500 home runs and missed
five
years with two wars, you know, that's 700 home runs right there. So Ted Williams might be in the top five of this discussion we're having.
And is DiMaggio in the top 10 conversation?
He is, but he didn't play long enough to pile up the numbers that these other guys did. However, I dare say no one ever saw him strike out. What did he have? He had more home runs than strikeouts, didn't he?
I'm going to give you that stat in a moment. Somebody, by the way, suggesting Todd Zeal on our list. It could have been more. But Todd Zeal ended up with 1,100 RBIs. He just played with like 11 teams or so.
Yeah, he had like 2,000 hits. He had a pretty good career. He didn't have it all here.
Yeah.
And they got Mike Morgan for him, which didn't work out all that well.
And the Cardinals went with Pagnazzi, who was a little better defensively but couldn't hit. Didn't hit very much.
At that point, he became all right as a hitter. But and Zeal had played a little first base, too, when Guerrero was hurt that year. But then Pags took over as catcher, yeah.
Who is your let me give you DiMaggio real quick here. On career home runs, 361, and then career walks, 790.
Strikeouts.
And strikeouts, 369. 360,
missed by eight, yeah.
369 strikeouts, 361 home runs. That's insane. All right, when we come back, we're going to get the commission's take on the managers he's dealt with, and he's dealt with a Hall of Famer Red Chaney, Hall of Famer Joe Torre, Hall of Famer Tony La Russa, and a Hall of Famer Whitey Herzog. We'll take a short time out. We're coming right back.